Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
Commissioner Andy Hunthausen. Andy, how are you?
Good morning. Good.
Yeah, and Andy, commitment. Man, you've got vacation next week, and you had a dentist appointment this morning, and you're still here.
I made it. Yeah, and I can even speak.
So yeah, he's got his bib on, so you know, he's okay. But the dentist was helping you out this morning, I guess, huh?
Absolutely.
Making sure that you didn't weren't mumbling on the air.
That's right. Yeah, he said he'd make sure he'd stay away from my tongue, but it was good to go. Got a fixed tooth, so I'm happy now.
Yeah, so you're all set. I appreciate you coming in, and there's always something going on in the county, and something I know that it's important for you. I mean, really, I guess important for all of us, but we've been in a weird census. I mean, this thing only happens, you know, people don't even remember maybe, when was the last time I did this? Because it's every 10 years. I mean, and now it's just weird. But there's still time, right?
There is still time. To the end of September, really, is when the deadline is. And as you said, this is really important, and people have put it on the back burner, and it's too bad because it's so important, and it does only happen 10 years. We really tried to get it out there and get going on it. We've had a local committee working on it, and then, of course, the pandemic hits, and so it gets put on the back burner. And so we still have, you know, 25% of the folks in Lewis and Clark County that have not responded, and it is an issue.
Yeah, that's a big number.
It is a big number, and across our state, it's similar numbers. Even greater in some places, and it means so much to our state and our community in terms of federal dollars coming back this direction and being supported that way. So
yeah, I mean, in Montana was at least the last numbers that I saw was lagging behind most the national average in terms of reporting. I mean, we were way behind.
Right, we were a bit behind the national average, and you know, a lot of that's attributed to the rural nature of our state,
mm-hmm.
and even our county. You know, we have Helena and East Helena in this valley that's pretty concentrated. But you get outside of that, and most people get their mail from a post office box, which the census doesn't mail to post office boxes. They only do physical addresses. So you have those challenges of trying to reach people in those rural areas. And then, you know, the nature of our kind of our dynamics in our country right now, and there's a lot of mistrust in the government and how the census data will be used and all of that. But the law is really clear about that, and people are really safe by filling out the census, and it really does just count them and get our demographics, as well as then tells us where we need to put our resources as a nation. And that money comes back for our schools, our roads, and you know, we have a chance in Montana to get another representative in Congress. And unless we get a true and good census count, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, we need those numbers. And this is something that's very, very easy. I mean, this is not something where you're like, man, I don't want to spend all day doing that. I'm not going to do it. I mean, it's minutes, right?
It's minutes, 10 minutes at tops, and it's online now, where first time in the history of our nation that you can do the census online. You can do it by phone. So COVID's not an issue in terms of filling out the census. You can do it via the paper route and send it in just like the old days, but it made it easier than ever to get it done, and there's really no excuse.
And it's safe and it's secure, and you're not giving them your banking information, and you're not giving – I mean, this is not something where they're gonna track you.
Right.
I mean, let's be honest. The government – we've all got numbers. We're born and we're given numbers. So if we're worried about the government tracking us, it started the day we were born. We've got that Social Security number. But that's not what this is about.
Right. It's not. And the census data is used every day. It's probably used by this radio station, as a matter of fact, you know, to determine where are the people, what are the you know, demographics that we want to advertise to, or whatever it might be. And it's used by nearly every business and government agency in our community to determine where the populations are, where the needs are, where we put our resources, and it's all very safe. And there's laws dictating that the census data can only be used from a non-specific standpoint. So they might say there's this many adults, you know, in these ages living in this community or whatever, but they can't talk about names or specific data. So it's really important information. It's easy to do. and it means so much for our community.
Yeah. Lewis and Clark County Commissioner Andy Hunthausen, our guest on Coffee Break today. And just before we move on, just quickly, I mean, is the county doing anything here? I mean, obviously, you had to scale back original plans. I mean, is there any kind of last push by you? I know Jamie out in East Helena, there's a lot of folks on this committee making sure that we do this thing right. What can you do at this point?
So we just met in the last couple of weeks, our committee and Mayor Jamie Schell from East Helena and Commissioner Emily Dean from the City of Helena and myself are the co-chairs of this committee. And we are developing a plan to do one last push and mainly toward those hard to count areas. So students coming back, working with the colleges, which they've been very great, and I think we've made some real progress there. And then those rural areas where the post office boxes, and doing one more mail push to those areas, some sort of media push, and we're trying to get that formulated now and put together by mid-September, so we do that last push so people can have a chance to fill out the census before the end of September.
And do you know, I know I'm putting you on the spot, what's the website? Do you know offhand? Or I can look it up here in a little bit.
Well, .gov, I think. I don't remember exactly, but the U.S., I mean, you put in U.S. Census in the search.
Yeah, it's going to pop up.
And uscensus.gov, I think, is okay. What it is. But very simple to do. Directions are there. Takes you right through it. Most people should have got at least one piece of mail in their mail, and those that have post office boxes should have had something hung on their door or hung on their fence or gate or something where that they can have those directions physically in hand as well. But easy to go on the website. All of that information is very attainable, and there's phone numbers as well that you can call for assistance.
Lewis and Clark County Commissioner Andy Hunthausen with us this morning on Coffee Break, and the census and everything else in our world different because of COVID right now. What's going on? I know this is a massively huge open-ended question, but what's going on with that in terms of the county? I mean, just our numbers have gone up, which I guess we kind of anticipated when everything kind of opened back up again, but they haven't ballooned like they have in some other counties.
Right. I'm very proud of what we've done here. You know, we still have numbers that have they increased for a period of time. They've kind of leveled off now, but it is no time to step back or take it easy or relax our diligence here, because school's coming back in session. Mm-hmm. Students will be closer together. This is a time when businesses, community folks, schools, we really have to pay attention. We have to do our best to keep it from escalating, and we've done a good job overall as a community, but it hasn't been without pain. You know, as you've seen, it's everything from a mild inconvenience to wear a mask around to businesses really struggling and having difficulties because they can't do things normally. And so we have a lot of compassion for that, but you know, the bigger picture is if we don't stay solid now, if we don't stay diligent now and really, really work hard, then we could have a spike and we could go backwards. And none of us want to go backwards. We don't want to go back to phase one. We don't want to have more restrictions on businesses or folks moving about or getting back to normal activities. But we have to stay diligent because the chances of the virus taking off again if we relax our tactics is great. And so we must be careful. And until we have a good vaccination, and not only a good vaccination, but have a lot of people vaccinated, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to have to be really diligent on this.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned, Andy, the mask. I mean, it seems by and large people are following mask guidelines here in the county.
They are. You know, I'm really proud of folks for the most part. I mean, everywhere you go, you see a few here and there. But for the most part, people are doing their part. And it's a mild inconvenience. You know, it really is something that, you know, this is a pain in the neck on one hand, but gosh, it's a lot better than getting the virus. It's a lot better than our businesses closing down. It's a lot better than schools not opening, you know, those kinds of things. So when you compare it to the bigger picture, it's a pretty mild inconvenience for folks, and I think it's worth it.
What are we hearing from, what are you hearing from public health on that? I mean, because this is a complaint-driven process. If folks aren't, you know, in businesses, aren't wearing masks, whatever, because law enforcement came out, not just here, but all over, saying, this is not, don't call 911 if somebody's out there not wearing a mask.
Right.
But the mechanisms are in place, basically, for any calls, any complaints about that to go to Lewis and Clark Public Health. And then it's up to them and the county attorney to determine anything past that. Are they getting calls, or are you talking with them about that happening? Or
they are. They're getting a lot of calls, you know. But again, by and large, our businesses are doing a great job. And in some cases where folks just refuse to wear a mask or something like that, and there are a few businesses that aren't as diligent about that, but there's quite a few calls coming in every day, and what the health department does is they investigate those by contacting. Let's use a business for an example. They contact that business and say, we've had this complaint, and they try to educate first and make sure that they understand what the rules are and what we're trying to do and how the goals that we're trying to accomplish by wearing masks. And if that doesn't work, if there's continued complaints, then they'll go out and actually try to do some training on site. And if that doesn't work and there's continued complaints, then they have to follow up the county attorney's office and maybe a letter to that business about that they must follow the procedures.
Yeah, and nobody wants to see that.
Right.
I mean, that's not
it's
something
only
any
happened
of us.
A couple of times. It's pretty rare. Most people, you know, after they get contacted, they really step things up.
Yeah. Lewis and Clark County Commissioner Andy Hunthausen with us on Coffee Break. We've got a couple minutes before we go to break. And I guess just in terms of public health, Andy, I mean, they've been kind of pushed to their limits with this thing in terms of just the work it takes with contact tracing, that sort of thing. I don't think people realize it's a relatively small department. And when you've got one person, you know, it's okay, well, who are you around in the last little bit? That could be a huge number. And then a public health nurse has to call every one of those people. I mean, they hired some temporary help, didn't they, to do that?
Right, and I'm glad you brought that up. I'm just very grateful for the staff. They've been working so hard and overwhelmed, really. And
yeah.
So we have hired, you know, with the CARES Act money, we were able to hire some more staff to assist in that contact tracing, and it is very difficult. So you imagine yourself and I imagine myself and all the people I'm around in any particular day, and then if I were to test positive, boy, that's a large number of folks that they have to track down and find. And so they do that. They have to ask all kinds of questions and make sure that those that need to be quarantined and those that may have been exposed are, and try to protect the rest of the community from it spreading. But so far, they're doing a great job, and it's very difficult. I think, as you pointed out, you know, you just the numbers make it challenging. So our staff, they're grateful for the temporary folks. There's going to be a training period and that kind of thing happening. But I think that we'll be able to maintain our composure and our ability to meet those needs as we go forward, at least at this time. So it looks good, and I'm really proud of our staff. So
yeah. What have the discussions been with them in terms of, you mentioned, I mean, schools reopening? Because obviously the districts have to figure things out, you know, and figure out what they're going to do for each school district. But in terms of public health, they have to be looking at this for, you know, what if? And there's got to be some scenarios where all of a sudden, you know, school XYZ out there all of a sudden has an outbreak. That contact tracing, I mean, that spider web is huge.
Right.
They must have had some conversations about what do we do if.
So they have, and I think, you know, and I'm not fully intimate with all of the details
sure.
of the school plan, but in general, I think what they're trying to do is make sure that they address that up front. So the schools are going to be having kids come back together, and in a way that they're more in pods, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Or in groups, so that if there is an outbreak, that group is really the contact group, and you know you have less likely of spreading throughout the entire school, more likely to be in that group of kids, grade, whatever it might be that is kept in its pod. So that's the hope, is that they can design the back to school thing so that when there is and if there is an outbreak that it is traceable and it is in a smaller group versus the entire school. So
yeah.
that's the plan. I think they have a pretty good plan. I think it's going to be challenging, of course, and you know, some people say nuts to open the schools, and others say, geez, we've got to get them open as soon as possible. So they're trying to find some middle ground and some work and give options for families. And as you saw, I think this morning there was an article about some of the families have chosen to do online school versus
We talked with Tyler Ream yesterday, and 1,800 students in the Helena School District anyway, doing digital learning only. And some of the teachers actually, if you're out there listening in the offices today, some of the teachers starting today. I know it's at some of the schools around town, they've got some of that, the training and that sort of thing. So thank you to all the school administrators and teachers and custodial staff and all of the folks that it's going to take to make this thing work. But we got to take a quick break. So we're going to do that, and then we'll be back with more with Lewis and Clark County Commissioner Andy Hunthausen. I just wanted to step away from the show for a few seconds to tell you that if you miss an episode, you can always catch up. We're on iTunes, so find our show there or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Local and area events, city, state, and national officials, your neighbors doing incredible things. We talk to them all on Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
In today's always-on world, your business demands a simpler approach to network security. At Blackfoot Communications, we deliver state-of-the-art security solutions from the perimeter to endpoint devices and remote data backup for businesses across Montana. Ensure your company's network is online all the time. For more information, visit goblackfoot.com/security.
Welcome back in. This is Coffee Break, and I'm Troy Shockley. Lewis and Clark County Commissioner Andy Hunthausen is our guest this morning. We've got about 10 minutes left with him. And Andy, just in terms of financials, how's the county doing? I mean, because there's certainly extra costs involved with all, you know, with COVID and everything. And I know the state's made money available. The federal government's made money available. But when we're talking about government funding, that's not always necessarily quick, right? Like, you've got money there and you're still trying to get it, and it doesn't always work smoothly. How's it going for Lewis and Clark County?
Well, in a general sense, it's going well. But really, it's yet to be seen, because the real effects of the COVID will be seen in the fall tax collection. Mm-hmm. So the spring was kind of already in progress. So our spring tax collection and revenues seem to be fine. We're doing okay. Of course, there's extra expenditures and people doing things that we wouldn't normally do in terms of everything from preparing, temporary and emergency housing kinds of things to law enforcement preparatory stuff and all of those kinds of things. We just talked about the health department and the extra needs they've had. So there's been extra expenses. And as you said, the state received CARES Act money, and they have been working with us closely to respond to that. We've been turning in those expenses that are related to COVID
so,
situation.
And so far, so good.
Far, so good. So this fall, we'll see how it goes. But, you know, we don't know. And if the revenues come in real short this fall, some of that CARES Act money will be great help to get through. But, you know, we've got people working at home. Of course, as we just talked about in the break, that you're a parent, there's kids going back. Do schools stay open? Do we become home teachers again? You know,
right.
All of those challenges happen, whether we're going to have staff and employees, and all the businesses, of course, are in the same boat. But we think the biggest challenges are to come this fall in terms of finances, but so far, so good.
Okay. And speaking of fall, I mean, among the challenges that we're facing, the changes that we're facing, we've got an election coming up. The county deciding, along with many counties, to go ahead with mail-in balloting. I can't talk this morning. I didn't even go to the dentist. Mail-in ballots. Can you explain what went into that decision and sort of what that's going to look like? Because I think there are some misunderstandings when people hear that, well, now I can't drop off my ballot. Now I can't register late. I mean, different things that you're always able to do, those things are now gone, and that's not necessarily the case.
Right. It really isn't as scary as people think. And it started with the governor's allowance for counties to determine that on their own, whether they wanted to have mail-in ballots or not. And of course, we already have nearly 75% of the people in our county, the voters in our county, that already vote by mail. They have absentee ballots, and they've registered for absentee ballots. So it's really 25% of the folks that they're not doing that. And what we'll be doing in this case, what we've decided to do, is to send everyone a ballot. So everyone will receive a ballot. They have the choice to mail that back, which we will pay for the postage. We've stamped all. We're going to stamp all of the envelopes returned, so that they'll have no excuse to return that. They'll have the opportunity to bring that in and drop it off in a drop box, or they'll have the opportunity to come in and actually walk up to the voting booth, fill out that ballot, and turn it in, just like they would at any polling place. And the challenge we have is that, you know, polling places are restricted now. We with the COVID thing, all of our school polling places are out. You know, we're not allowed to use those. As well, we have only about half of the poll workers that we normally have that are willing to come back and do the job. So we really don't have an opportunity to have polling places like we have before. It's dangerous anyway to have those lines and expose people to the virus potentially. So voting by mail is the safest. We have a great relationship with our local postal folks. They've really been attentive to us in the past, and we've had no serious issues of any kind. And it's the way to go, and it gives people options. So people are welcome to come in and vote in person if they'd like. We're going to have a polling place that's safe and the best we can, and centralized, and then other folks can vote by mail.
Can people still register to vote up until the very end like they normally do?
Right. Yes.
They okay.
can register right up to the end, and they can submit a ballot at that time.
Yeah, I you know, I'll raise my hand for that 75%. I do the mail-in thing, though very often I fill it out and then it sits on my counter or on my table, and then I have to bring it by anyway because right. That's in 2 days. I should probably drop it by. I have to physically drop it off anyway. But, it works well, and just in terms of – I know the integrity of the thing is what people worry about. We did this during the primaries, and it worked well.
It did. It worked well. Works great, and no issues of any significance. Once in a while, a married couple might sign each other's ballots or something. That gets caught. Every ballot, every signature's checked. We have trained people that will look at every signature. It's very onerous. It's a lot of work. We have the counting machines that are not hooked to the internet. They're under lock and key. We have sensors and cameras And the public's welcome to come on election day and watch. It's open to the public. You can observe how it's done. It is really a slick process. We have an excellent election administrator in Audrey McHugh. She does a great job, and we just have not seen any issues, and there is no real problem with the mail-in ballots. We've been doing it for a long time, so this doesn't really – it really is not much of a change for us. So I think it'll be fine.
Yeah. I'm going to see if we can't get Audrey back on the show. She's been on before, and I think it'd be interesting just to kind of go over, go behind the curtain. Tell us, right. What does this look like? What do you do? And she's fantastic. Andy, it's construction season. What's going on in the county? I mean, any big projects that we need to be aware of either going on now or coming up in the next few weeks?
Well, I'm sure folks driving around have seen a lot of stuff going on, but much of that is state work. But on the county roads, we've been very busy. A lot of repaving projects, Lake Helena Drive out on Birdseye, doing a lot of grading and graveling. Right now, we're just going to start the chip seal project for this year. So many of the hard surface county roads will be chip sealed and oiled, and so really advise people to pay attention to the signs, be careful around the workers. They're working hard and don't need to be run over.
Right.
But also, be prepared for those areas that might have delays. We're trying to get out signs and things so people know that, you're going to be doing this project this week. I might want to take another route or leave a little early, those kinds of things. So all of this is to benefit them and their traveling comfort ultimately, but the maintenance has to be done to protect our infrastructure and our investments.
So. Yeah, construction. It's like wearing masks, right?
Right.
Temporary inconvenience.
That's right.
Minor inconvenience. It seems like a big deal sometimes, but life is better down the road. It's the same thing. construction and masks. At the same time as construction season hits us here in Montana, fire season hits us, Andy. So far, so good on that as well. I mean, we had the very early fire that went, oh no, what's going to go on? And then it's been largely quiet.
It has been. The difference between that time and this is that, boy, it's dried out significantly, and we've gotten the heat now. And so we just are asking people to be so careful in the woods. The potential for a big fire season, big push here for in this last month of the fire season is so great. And so we're just reminding people, you know, no fires unless you absolutely have to, in terms of in designated areas that it's open. There's no burning right now of debris or anything like that. And we just need people to be careful in the woods. Everything from your chains on your trailers, you know, and those kinds of things, and being careful with your vehicles and tall grasses and that kind of stuff. Usually it's just someone who's not paying attention that starts these fires, and of course then we have the lightning. So care, please pay attention. We've got to work together to make sure that we don't have a
These conditions are just, I mean, I've talked with I was actually talking yesterday with Pat and Rocky Infanger, you know, both they know more about fire than probably anybody else in the region, if not the country. And they're both sort of saying that, you know, it's a matter of when. Like right now across the state, I mean, if Pat McKelvey says the fire's going to happen somewhere, it's probably going to happen. And just it's so hot and the humidity's low. And like you said, we've got potential for some thunderstorms right now. It takes a single spark. And you know, when we're looking at 90 degrees for it, and we just had lightning just flash outside my window here. I got my shade drawn a little bit, so I can't tell, but it looked like it was headed towards the North Valley a little bit on the other side of the airport. So we have a thunderstorm coming in right now.
We do, and it's scary. So fingers crossed, and everybody pay attention and do your best to.
You can't hear it through our soundproof windows, but now we've got thunder rolling. So that took a little bit. So that was somewhere sort of northwest in the valley out there.
Right.
So we're going to have to. I'm going to be on alert all day now, Andy. Stuart's on vacation. There's only me, so I'm going to be watching all day long and hoping that nothing happens. So, Andy, thanks for coming in, man. I know it's a busy time for you, and I want to take a second and congratulate you. 25 years of blissful marriage coming up next week, you said.
That's right. Yes, that's the reason for the vacation. So 25 years of bliss. That's exactly right.
Yeah, and you've got...
She might not agree.
You've got 15 seconds to say something nice in case she's listening.
Well, honey, I love you, and thanks for the great 25 years. I hope we have 25 more. So,
Lewis and Clark County Commissioner Andy Hunhausen, he's getting in good graces this morning on Coffee Break, and he deserves it. Thanks for all the time. Thanks for the work that you're doing. That's all the time we have. We'll see you back here tomorrow. I'm Troy Shockley, and that's it for Coffee Break today. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Head on over. Give us a review there. That's always much appreciated. Or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you back here tomorrow.